Let's open to John chapter 2. We'll be studying verse 1 through 11 tonight. Before I start, I want to start with like an illustration tonight. So anyone here like sports?
Yeah.
So I want to talk about football. You know, the sport I love. I'm a diehard Seahawks fan.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champs. All right, so a couple years back, though, I remember 2014, we played the Patriots. Anyone remember that game? And I'm not here to trigger you if that was traumatic for you. I'm still recovering from that game. But last year helped a little bit, right? Because we smashed the Patriots, right? 29-13, I believe the score was.
And we're going to beat them week one, too.
Amen, amen. So 2014, it's fourth quarter. It's 23-21, and we're at the 1 yard line, right? So here we go. This is it. The year before, we had won the Super Bowl already. We beat the Broncos 43-8. Just demolished them. And we get there to the 1 yard line, and what happens, right? Russell Wilson steps back, throws an interception, picks it. It's a pick, it's over, right? And many fought that decision, said, hey man, you should have just ran it with Marshawn. You're the best running back in the league, and you choked, right? So, anyone here like DVR? Anyone here like have a show that you maybe like to watch, and you record that? Okay, I guess not. Or maybe a show that comes out with like a full season, and you just want to binge watch it all at once, right? Because you're super stoked on the new season. So, in that same way, now, take the DVR thing, take it to the game. Imagine the Patriots game, Seahawks 2014. You're in that space, but you're not a Hawks fan. You're a Patriots fan. And you're like, oh my gosh, the Hawks are at the 1 yard line. It's 23-21. We're cooked, right? They have the best running back in the league. Oh my gosh, we're gonna lose. Is this it for Tom Brady, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're shaking in your boots because you're a Patriots fan. You're not a Hawks fan. So, you watch the game, let's say you watch the DVR game like a week before it all happens or after it happens, and you know the Patriots are going to win, right? And you're at the 1 yard line, Marshawn's there, and you're not worried. You're like, all right, we know what's going to happen. They're going to throw a pick. We're going to win this game. So although you're about to possibly lose, just because you know you have insider knowledge, I guess, the game is already over. It doesn't really bother you as much. You're like, all right, go ahead, you know, do your thing. That pick in the second quarter, I don't care about that. That fumble in the third quarter, that'll buff too. You know, like you're just more accepting of things that come your way because you're like, it is what it is. We won that game. So with that, I want to bring us into the title of my message tonight. The best is always yet to come. So, I want to read the passage. Power of God's word is amazing. I've seen it change my life. I believe it can change your life tonight. This passage has spoken to me, and I want to read it. So let's pick it up. John chapter 2, verse 1. Here we go. Much better. All right. Jesus changes water to wine. On the third day, there is a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they had no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were 6 stone water pots set there for the Jewish custom of purification, containing 20 or 30 gallons each. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out now and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. When the head waiter tasted the water, which had become wine, did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The head waiter called the bridegroom, said to him, every man serves the good wine first, and when the people have drunk freely, then he serves the poorer wine. But you've kept a good wine until now. This beginning of his signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifest his glory, and disciples believed in him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for tonight. We just thank you that you're here. Your spirit is eminent, Lord. We can taste it. You are good. You are faithful. We love you, Jesus. We just invite you in this space right now, God. Just move in power in your word. Get me out of the way. I repent of any sin in me and any of us right now. Any distraction, any lies, any disappointment, any shame, any guilt, any church hurt, religion, whatever may be coming against us, Lord. We just ask that you overwhelm what's overwhelming us tonight. And Father, that you would just have dominion over this time, God. I just move myself out of the way. I invite you here right now, Jesus. We just thank you, God, for your word. We thank you for your presence. We are lovers of your presence, Lord. We just want more of you. And we're thankful to be in your house. We're thankful to be your kids. God, use your word. Speak to us now, Lord. We need a word from you. Father, we are fighting, God. We are in the battles of our lives. We are fighting for you. We are fighting to be a light. We are fighting, God, to be faithful to you. And God, we need a word from you. Desperately, God. And so I just ask right now, God, that you would move in this place. Rebuke the enemy. Rebuke the lies of the enemy. And if anyone's not saved here tonight, Lord, I pray somebody would receive the truth of the gospel. And angels would rejoice tonight, if that be your will, Father. Thank you, God, that you use broken people to do your will. Thank you, God, that you use our mess and turn it into a message. And God, we just trust in you now. Invite you here in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Come on. So, we're in John chapter 2 tonight. Super exciting. We're studying the Gospel of John. We're studying the life of Yeshua. John was a disciple that Jesus himself said that he loved. Right? John is a disciple that was with Jesus. He was one of the close disciples of Jesus. One of the ones that, in the end, even when he was getting crucified, Jesus is getting crucified and he says, Mary, this is your son now. John, this is your mother, right? So we know that John had a tight-knit relationship with God and Jesus. And tonight's passage, I want to do a little bit of intro before I go into my first point. We're looking at a wedding tonight, right? A Jewish wedding could last up to 7 days. It was the groom's responsibility to pay for these festivities. All right, as we look at our passage tonight, to run out of wine for the guests would have been a huge embarrassment to the groom. This could have made him vulnerable to legal consequences from the bride's relatives. Also, the fact that Jesus, his mother, and his disciples were invited to this wedding shows this was a wedding for a family member or a friend of the family. Middle Eastern weddings are a big deal, right? Not just because I'm Middle Eastern, right? They're a big deal. I'm just being real. They last for days. All right, I came to the U.S. when I was 10, all right, from Turkmenistan. And before I came here, we would party. You know, at Uzbekistan weddings, man, we bring out the cow. You know, we bring out food. We bring out, you know, soup. We bring out all the cool clothes, all the festivities, you know. And it lasts for days. It gets pretty exciting. And it's a big deal. It's a huge deal. So in this passage tonight, this is a big deal. Here we have a couple, and most likely like the biggest day of their life, right? It's a big deal. So they're excited for this, right? They're really excited for this opportunity. And what do we see here? Jesus and his disciples join along. God is good. My first point tonight. Jesus enters into our joy and suffering and the in-between. Verses 1 through 6. Jesus is a God of the in-between. Jesus is a God of the joy and the suffering. Jesus is a God that doesn't want to just be with you on the mountaintop. He wants to be with you in the valley. He wants to pick you up when you're down. He wants to rejoice with you in the exciting parts of your life, the best parts of your life, even the mediocre parts of your life. Jesus cares about it all. And so we see here, Jesus enters into this wedding. He celebrates with the bride, the groom, and all the families that are there. Jesus doesn't put a damper on the party. Jesus brings joy and peace to the celebration. He's present, he's near, he's in the lives of these couple. And me and Michael didn't even plan this tonight. Like, his worship set was just so in line with my message. And I know, God is, the Holy Spirit, our God, is one, and I just love how he works. The verse that really just hit me hard. He weeps with those who weeps. He rejoices with those who rejoices. And at first I read that passage and I'm like, Jesus calls us to do that to each other, but he also did that himself. And it just wrecked me. In that moment, I'm like, whoa, like, Jesus is at this wedding. He has just been anointed. He's been baptized and picked up, and the Father says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then what is he, 40 days in the wilderness? He's tested, but he doesn't sin. He denies Satan. He doesn't deny the Father. He denies Satan's temptations. And what is the first thing he does? He goes to a wedding. Woo. And so in this space, we see a dilemma enters the room. Right? The bride and the groom, this is the biggest day of their lives. If you could just like look into this passage, like, just imagine, like, maybe their engagement wasn't that, like, rosy. Maybe it was hard. Maybe it was a long road. They worked hard to get to this day. This is a big day in their lives. And maybe they went through some disappointment, discouragement, whatever, right? Like, we don't know, and I don't want to speculate, but I also want to look and see, like, this probably wasn't perfect, right? But they're in this space, and it's so exciting because they're getting married, and this trial appears. Imagine the best day of your life in this, like, earth-shattering trial just comes through. Maybe, I mean, the best way I can describe it is, like, you're getting married, everything in your life's going well, you have the job, you have everything, like, your health's good, and then the IRS shows up, and they're like, you owe us, like, $200,000. Like, something to that effect is the best way I could even illustrate it. Like, I'm not, probably not doing it justice. But running out of wine, that's a situation, right? Especially in a Middle Eastern wedding, wine represented joy. Wine represented, it was everything in the wedding, not just for alcoholic purposes. I mean, the wine was watered down mostly, but it was something that was a huge deal, right? So we enter into this point where the bride and the groom and the family realize there's no wine left. And this is a large shaming experience. This could have been because they were poor, they didn't have enough money saved up. This could have been many other reasons, we don't know. But maybe you're in that place tonight, you know. On the outside, everything seems to be going well, and you have the smile and the facade, but inwardly you're broken, you're hurting, you're battling, and you're going through stuff. And maybe you're discouraged, you're attacked, you're defeated, and you're here tonight hanging by a thread, maybe, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Maybe it's mental health, maybe it's physical issues. Maybe you're going through family issues. Maybe it's work issues. Maybe it's a struggle you have that you think you will never get out of, or something you struggle with that you just can't find freedom from. I can feel pretty disappointing. I can feel pretty taxing. What does Jesus do? Jesus enters into this. And I love that. He doesn't just enter into the joy part. He's not like that friend that's like, oh, let's hang out when everything's going well. You know, you just earned 6 figures last year. You got, you know, you got promoted at work. Let's go party. You know, but they're not there when you just got fired and you're down in the dumps. You're like, where's all the homies at? You know, you just ain't a homie like that. He enters into our suffering. He enters into our joy. He enters into our in-between. He's the good shepherd of our bad days. He's a shepherd of our good days. He's a shepherd of the mediocre days. He's a shepherd of all our days. And we see in this passage, Jesus is present. He's not checked out. Jesus sees, Jesus hears, Jesus feels. And Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Jesus sees us, he hears us, he holds us. Every tear we have shed is in his bottle. He's the one carrying us through our deepest valleys and painful experiences. He doesn't treat us like our sins deserve. Psalms 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and let all that's within me bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let all that's within me bless your holy name. Forget not his benefits, who heals all your diseases, who breaks all your chains, and it goes on to say, who doesn't treat you like your sins deserve. Woo! That's our God. He forgives. He understands. He's empathetic. He's understanding. He knows our frame. He knows that we are dust. He's the God of the highs and lows. He's the God of our bad days. He's the God of our good days. He's the God of all of us. And you know what? He never stops fighting for us. And what do we see here? The bride and the groom are in a dilemma. So I want to encourage you today, whatever you're facing, God sees you, he loves you, he's for you, and he wants to enter into all your days. Even the days you don't want to talk about tonight, the days that you felt like giving up, the days that you said, I'm just tired. I can't fight another moment. And I can confess, I've been there. Because God really knows how to push us. He knows how to turn on the heat and grow us and continue to pull us into growth. My second point tonight. And I wanted to say earlier, as I said, the title of my sermon is The Best is Always Yet to Come. And I want to add in there, there's hope in the midst of our suffering. That's the other, if I could have another title. And in that idea, my second point is Jesus is blessed by our battle. So I want to explain that a little bit. Okay, all right, David, like, what do you mean by that? I thought Jesus was only blessed by my victories and by perfection and by good works and by religion or by dotting your I's and crossing your T's, how high you can jump or how straight you can walk. But I want to encourage you tonight that Jesus isn't blessed by only when you win. He's blessed by your battle. And I want to explain that because I think we can get caught up as church people or Jesus believers. We can get caught up in religion. And religion says, do. Try harder. Play harder. Work harder. Religion says you're not good enough. Religion says you're the worst. Religion says you failed again. Religion says keep trying. Religion says you might be saved. Religion says keep. It just asks for more and more of us. What does Jesus say? Jesus says, I did it. Jesus said, I finished it. Jesus says, I died for you. Jesus said, I paid the highest price. Jesus said, I'm for you. And we get sometimes in the midst of trials, I've heard it said, trials can make you better or bitter, right? And I can confess tonight, we're real here, we're in church, that they have made me bitter at times. And it's easy to get bitter when the trial won't stop. And do you think the bride and the groom in this passage, do you think they were encouraged when the wine ran out? I don't think so. I think it was a pretty big deal. And I think they felt like they failed, and especially with Jesus there. Like, come on, man. Like, he's still at my wedding, and I didn't even get any wine. But no. I was reading this passage, and the Lord just spoke to me. David, I was blessed by the bride and groom. And I was like, whoa, what does that even mean? You know, like, how are you blessed by them? They ran out of wine. They messed up, Jesus. He said, you know, no, I'm blessed by them. And I'm like, stop. You know when the Lord just speaks and it just cuts through all your religion, all your facades, all your fakeness, all your whatever you're carrying, he just knows how to cut through it. And I was just blown away that Jesus was blessed by their work, their obedience, their effort, the fact that they had even gotten to this part in their marriage. They had made it to their wedding day, and that they had made this step. Jesus was blessed by that. Jesus wasn't blessed by the fact that they had it all together. Like, it wasn't like, oh yeah, if they had the wine, then Jesus would have been like really pleased. He would have been super pleased if they looked really good on the outside. What does he say to the Pharisees? You are like whitewashed tombs. Outwardly you look alive, but inwardly you're dead. You know, you're rotten bones. You're a brood of vipers. He called them out. And I felt like tonight, there's somebody here tonight. It feels like they're just like battling. And I'm not going to point anyone out, but somebody's battling here tonight. Somebody here maybe is going through it and feels like, man, Jesus isn't pleased with me. Jesus doesn't even love me. Jesus, why would you want anything to do with me? Why would Jesus even want to love me or die for me? And they're questioning and doubting God, and they're doubting Jesus' love. And the Lord is like, tell them I'm blessed by that. And I'm like, oh, okay, Lord. What do you mean by that? I'm blessed by that. Jesus is blessed when you mess up. In the light of seeking to obey him and you fall on your face, maybe. I'm not saying go out and ruin your life in sin. I'm not preaching that. I'm just saying, can we be real that it's like the sanctification thing is a progressive thing, and we can all come to the honest conclusion and idea that it's hard and it sucks at times and it's painful, and sometimes you just feel like, ah, I don't want this anymore. Tap out. I'm done with this trial. Lord, is this going to stop? And I felt like he wanted to say to us tonight, he's blessed by your battle. He's blessed by your effort, your heart, your obedience. Even when you slip up and fail and misstep or backslide or whatever that is, I'm encouraging you, turn back to him. Yeah. Just turn back to him. Metanoia, if you're going one way, and I've said this in my last message, repentance is like being on the highway going the wrong way and being like, all right, I'm going to take this exit. And you turn off the exit and you go around and you go the other way. Right? There's a metanoia. There's a changing of the mind and the heart, but there's action too, right, that follows it. But I want to tell you that Jesus is blessed by your battle, not by your perfection. He's not blessed by your perfection. He's blessed by your battle. And by that, I mean today, right, in the here and now. Right? No one here is perfect, right? But we are in progress, right? You're positionally perfect in Christ, but you're not practically perfect. But you're becoming more and more like him. So don't give up. Allow God into your life. Allow him to work with you. Allow him to come into those areas in your life that are maybe not all put together. Victories, defeats, strengths, weaknesses, pain, joy. God delights in you. He knows the hairs on your head. Every step you take, your journey. He sees your progress. He doesn't expect your perfection. He wants your heart. He loves your heart. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. Don't turn from the Lord. Return to him. Jesus cares more about the direction of your life than the perfection of your life. So he just wants your heart to be directed toward him. So in the light of that, you might, like when a baby's learning how to walk and like falls, right? Or like trips up, but they're a baby, right? Like you don't get mad at the baby because he tripped on his way to learn how to walk. And Jesus is that father, like cheering you on, like, come on, man, you got this, yeah, you know? And then if you slip up and like maybe trip, he's not there like shaming you. Like he's not there like beating you up or like yelling at you. That's not who he is. So I want to tell you that the devil's been lying to somebody tonight. He's been lying to us. And he's been in our cars. He's been in our heads. And what I mean by car is some of us have been letting him chill with us in our cars and play music in our car. Like, what does that even mean? Like, when you ride with your friends, you don't let them pick your music unless, like, they're really close or, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, maybe, like, a new friend, but, like, you don't just let some random person come in your car and play their soundtrack. But sometimes we get stuck and let Satan into our car, and we let him play his mixtape. And it's just, you are the worst, you suck, you're never going to make it. And it's just negative thoughts after another. Because what is the father of lies come to do? Steal, kill, destroy. Right? John, later on, what I've come to give you life. Life abundantly.
Yeah.
Woo! I've come to give you life. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd of our souls. So some of us tonight need to throw out our mixtape. Because it's trash. I'm just going to say it. Some of y'all got bad music. I'm just going to say it. Stop playing that mixtape in your car, saying you're just a failure and you're never going to make it. That's not right. Live by God's word. It is truth, not your feelings. Feelings come and go. God's word never fails. There's moments in our life where feelings are going to lie to us, and we're going to want to do what our feelings say. But I encourage you in that moment, trust in God, lean on him, and not on your own understanding. Get on your knees. That Hillsong song, what does it go? It's like, I hit my knees and heaven meets me or something like that. Anyways, I'm butchering. But like, I meet God when I hit my knees, you know? And so maybe you need to hit your knees tonight. Maybe tonight, get on your knees. I want to encourage you. We're going to wrap up here. I saved my best point for last. Our best is always yet to come. Our suffering is not in vain. It is doing something. Jesus waits to bring the best wine out at last. He waits, he plans, he delights. Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for good and not harm. Plans to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen.
Yep.
Amen. So, I want to add to this point. Our best is always yet to come. Our suffering is not in vain. It is doing something. Tonight, if you're here and you're a believer and you put your faith in Christ, your best is yet to come. If you're here tonight and you have not put your faith in Jesus, and you're leaning on your own understanding as, and you're the God and Savior of your own life, I want to tell you your worst is yet to come. I know that's offensive. But hear me out. Is it more loving to tell somebody, okay, let's say this building was on fire tonight, illustration. Would it be, and if you were in here and I could get you out and I didn't get you out, and I just sat out there in the parking lot. I love you, I love you, I love you so much. I'm like, bro, you're a firefighter. Get your booty over here and save me, right? Whatever, right? And so I love you, I love you. What's more loving, say that or actually do something about it? And actually come in and help that person. Rescue them from the flames. Snatch them from the flames, right? It's action, right? So I want to tell you tonight, if you are not putting your hope in Christ, and you're putting your hope in anything other than Jesus for salvation or hope or peace, you're going to be disappointed. And it's not going to satisfy. But I want to tell you tonight, if that's you, I'm not here to shame you. I'm here to tell you, your best can be yet to come. Your best can be yet to come. You can experience the best to yet to come, because today is the day of salvation, and you can turn to him. You can repent. You can turn to him. So on that point, back to my illustration. I'm going to wrap up soon. Watching the Patriots game, you're a Patriots fan, and Marshawn's on the one-yard line, but you know that the Patriots win already because Malcolm Butler gets the pick six, or the pick, ends the game. Tom Brady gets his eighth ring, you know, and goes on to be the GOAT. Whatever, right? Like, Patriot fans aren't batting an eye if they know the end of that game and they're watching that point, right? They're like, whatever. So I want to encourage you tonight that You might be going through suffering, and I want to tell you, no one's safe from suffering. We're going to go through it. I want to encourage you that it's not in vain if you're a believer. That it's doing something. There's purpose to our suffering. God uses everything in our lives. Yeah. And that just like wrecked me, because sometimes I go through things I would never sign up for. Amen? Yeah. It's like, oh, no. Like, if I was the judge of this, I would never put myself through any of these trials sometimes. But you know what? God's going to bring them. And you know what? What can really help in the midst of that is purpose and hope and perseverance, but eyes that are fixed on Jesus. And I wanted to encourage you that if you're going through some kind of suffering, that God is with you in that, and He comforts you, and He comforts me, and He's the God of the joy and the suffering and the in-between, and He's not just the God of the perfect days, He's the God of our bad days, He's the God of the good days. And so if you're discouraged tonight, I want to encourage you that your suffering has a purpose. That every ounce of obedience you show to God, that steps you take to fight for holiness and purity or humility, God blesses that. And God is using that. And this passage, 2 Corinthians, says, all these light troubles are nothing. Are achieving an eternal weight of glory. So we fix our eyes on what is seen, but not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. And this passage is so cool because the end of the story is this bride, groom party headmaster, whatever his name is. He is the one that tastes the wine and he's like, oh my gosh, this is the best. Why did they bring this out now? Usually they bring the worst wine out last. And he's like, wow. And I read this passage and I used to always tell people your best is yet to come. And then I actually read this passage and I'm like, it's biblical. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, dude, God is good. Like, this is actually Bible, straight Bible. And so I want to tell you that. That's not just like some saying. If you're a part of God's team, like, your best is yet to come. And your suffering is not in vain. And that changes things. When you're on the 1 yard line and it's 29 to whatever, 23, 21, and you're like, ah, man, we're going to lose. But you know the end. That doesn't affect you as much, does it? Because so in that same way, you're going through it. Don't give up. Don't quit. Keep fighting. Keep hustling. Keep giving it all to God, because in the end, it'll be worth it. I heard it said, we have one life to live. It'll soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. Make your life count. Fight for Him. Fight for Jesus. And you know what? Let Him have all of you, all your brokenness, all your shame, all your pain, all your suffering, because it's doing something. It's not in vain. Your suffering is not in vain. If you're a believer, it's not in vain. And I felt like the enemy wanted to come against that in my own life, because he was getting in my ear. He was in my car playing the mixtape. And you know what? I'm preaching to myself too. You know, I need to stop letting the enemy in my car. David, you suck. David, you're not going to make it. David, you messed up too much. David, you're this. Those are lies.
David, you broke up.
That's right. And you know what? Those feelings come. But I want to encourage you that you can make it, that you can fight the good fight of faith. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have, for the joy set before Him, Jesus endures the cross, scorns the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. What do you think Jesus looked to when He went to the cross? Judas betrays Him. His own disciples desert Him. Peter denies Him 3 times. That's some suffering. What does Jesus do? He knew His suffering was not in vain. It was purpose-filled. And I want to encourage you tonight. Your suffering is not in vain if you are a part of Christ. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if He's your God, and He's walking with you, I want to tell you, even your missteps. Because I was like, no, don't say that, David. Even your missteps in the direction of God are a part of His plan for your life. Whoa. Sovereignty. Wait, what? You're saying when I was at my darkest? Wait, when I was while yet a sinner, Jesus died for me? That's the opposite of what religion says, but it feels weird. Like, how could that be? How can there be a God so scandalous, right? With a love so deep and loving and kind that he can even use my missteps, my backsliding, my failures, my discouragement, my despair, my fear, your anxiety, your shame, your guilt, all of it. The God of the joy, the suffering, and in between. That sounds like a God that can finish a work he's begun. Amen? Philippians 1:6, he's faithful to finish the work he has begun in us. God finishes what he starts. So I want to tell you tonight, you might think, I'm done, David. I can't do this anymore. I can't be a believer. I can't do it anymore. I can't even fight these desires. I can't fight sin. I can't keep showing up. I'm tired of it. I'm burnt out. I want to tell you that God is with you. God sees you. He hears you, and he's holding you in his arms. And he doesn't beat up his sheep. He builds up the sheep. So I want to tell you, he loves you, and he's holding you. And if you're suffering, I want to show empathy to you. And I'm not sitting up here just judging you or putting you down. I'm in it with you. I'm in it with you, in the midst of it with you. I have my own scars. I have my own wounds. And God has wounded me greatly in my journey with him. But God has used those things in my life. The areas of my weaknesses have been the areas of my greatest strengths, the areas of the greatest ministry. And I want to encourage you that God can use your greatest weakness as your greatest ministry. God is a God of the mess turned into a message. God turns our trials into triumphs. God turns our tests into testimonies. God turns our waiting into testimonies. God is a God that's so sovereign that he can even use whatever is the worst thing in your life to turn it all for his good. So I want to encourage you, God's grace is too good. And his love is too wide for you to mess it up. I want to encourage you in that. That's not religion. That's the gospel. And we see here tonight, a couple, bridegroom and bride, they're in it. They're in this real trial. And what does Jesus do? He takes 6 stone pots. He says, all right, fill these up. And what did the disciples do? Did they fill it halfway? No, they fill it up to the brim. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Ecclesiastes 9:10. They do it with all their might. And what does Jesus do? He makes miracles in their lives. And I want to tell you tonight that your best is yet to come. There's miracles in your life. And I believe God can do miracles in your life too. That struggle you're going through, I believe God can help you. God can take those things and use them for his good. So let's believe in God. Let's believe in his goodness. Let's believe in his word. Let's trust in him. Let's hold on to his promises. And I want to close with these verses. Matthew 28:20. I'll be with you to the end. Hebrews 13:5. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm just speaking this over you right now. Romans 8:28. I will work everything together for your good. Isaiah 41:10. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you. 1 Corinthians 15:58. In the Lord, none of your work is in vain. Philippians 1:21. To live is Christ, to die is gain. 2 Corinthians 5:8. To be away from the body is to be at home with the Lord. Hold on, we're going home. Hang on, keep fighting, keep trusting, keep persevering. Hold on to faith, don't give up. Persevere, keep your eyes on Jesus, keep your eyes on them. The joy set before you, endure your life. Joy set before you, trust in God. For the joy set before you, fight the good fight. For the joy set before you, confess your sin unto the Lord. For the joy set before you, repent of your sins. For the joy set before you, do not be discouraged. And I want to encourage somebody tonight. I want to encourage us tonight that God wants to do the best still. And he is the God of the best. And you know what? One day in heaven, every wrong will be made right. Maybe it's not on the side of eternity. And I'm not preaching prosperity. I'm preaching hang on to God. He's greater than your feelings. He's greater than your pains. And you know what? In heaven, maybe this life you will go through trials. And I'm not saying that God will just take it all away and it'll be easy. I'm saying, like, you're going to go through it, but take heart that heaven is your home. Rejoice because your name is written in the book of life, and God's given you eternal life. That can't be snatched from him. You know what Elsa says? Jesus doesn't lose things. He says, those who are mine, I don't lose, right? The shepherd analogy. So I want to tell you, you can't be lost when you're one of his sheep. So hold on to him. Trust in him. He has good plans for your life. And he's going to finish what he's begun in your life. And he's going to carry you through the darkest trial. Psalms 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So I want to encourage you, you might be going through, but God's not going to leave you leave you there. He's going to carry you through to the very end. Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much. You are so good, God. So good to us. We trust you, God. We thank you, God. You are so good, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, for entering in to our joy, to our suffering, to our pain, to our disappointment. Jesus, thank you, God, for being blessed by our battles. Not just when we are perfect or quote-unquote good, but you're blessed by our battles, Lord. And I just pray tonight, God, that you meet us in the midst of any suffering or trial we're going through, God, just that you would help us to have an eternal perspective, to keep our eyes fixed on you, Jesus. Father, just that help us to know that the things we're going through are not in vain. And God, you know what? They're doing something. And I just pray that would minister to us tonight. Father, your word would minister us tonight. And if somebody here tonight is just so discouraged and maybe feels like giving up, I pray for that person right now, Jesus, that you would touch them, that you would love them, that you would wreck them in your love. And that tonight they would reach out for prayer. They would reach out for love. They would not sit in isolation, but they would connect up and share with somebody their needs. Father, because you care and you know already what's going on in our lives. Jesus, I just come before you and I pray for anyone here that's lost and not saved, that Lord, tonight would be the night of salvation, that they would turn to you and receive freedom and joy and peace. And I just pray, God, if there's someone here tonight, that they would make that decision, Lord. It says in your word, Romans 10:9, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that you are Lord, that we will be saved. And that angels will rejoice as we stand with you, God, in heaven forever. A place where there will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more grief. And where all things will be made right, God. Thank you, God, our best is yet to come. And that although we're going through the trial, we know that that's not our eternal destination. Thank you, God, that our home is in heaven, that we're traveling through this world. And God, earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. And God, we can trust in you. And in the midst of the fiercest trials, you fight for us. You hold us. You delight in us. And I just pray that tonight some encouragement for us, Lord, to not grow weary of doing good. For at the right time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Anyone here with shame, Lord, I just rebuke that in the name of Jesus. Lies that would tell them to give up, or they're not enough, or that they fail too much, or that they're too broken for you to be touch their lives. I just come against that lie. God, there's no mountain you won't climb up, no wall you won't kick down, no lie you won't tear down running after us. You leave the 99 every time, God. That's reckless love. And we just trust you, Lord. We just thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Bless the small group we're about to have in our fellowship. Just love you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Thank you. Amen.